Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
If you missed the big take this morning, download the Odyssey app and hit up the rewind feature. Some really good stuff on Pride Month and the decline, according to the Pew Research Center, in the belief of whether or not you are actually a different gender than the one you are assigned at birth based on your sex. And also the American Pediatric Association coming out and vehemently trying to end all of these treatments, these surgeries, these hormones, puberty blockers. If you missed it, go back and get that on the free Odyssey app or just watch us again on YouTube. But on Friday's show, when Greg was out and Sean Farish from Tennessee was in, we gave you the story of the Tennessee Star, another newspaper in the Nashville area, that got some of the details of the Audrey Hale shooter manifesto, to which for many months now, if not over a year and a half, I mean, my God, that story happened in March of 2023, and we gave you 3 pages of the details, which was all that was released, but we found out that there were 4 dozen pages. So you got about 3 or 4 pages of the 48 that exist, and now there's a follow-up story to what Dawn, Sean, and I talked about on Friday's show. The University of Vanderbilt, which is pretty much like an Ivy League institution down in the South. Vanderbilt is right in the heart of downtown Nashville. Vanderbilt University Medical Center is silent on possible transgender treatment for the Nashville Covenant shooter, Audrey Hale. And they are not answering multiple requests about whether or not she sought transgender drugs, surgeries, or other gender-affirming treatment following the revelation that she was a patient of VUMC for 22 years. So when I sit here and I talk about these things and I say I'm of the belief that I think a lot of this is mental health, I mean, first of all, I truly believe that. But secondly, in this case specifically, I mean, she was there for 2 decades seeking a variety of treatments, which we will give you the details on in just a moment. But VUMC, the Vanderbilt University Medical Center, has not replied to multiple requests for comment from the Tennessee Star following these revelations, which include confirmation that Hale was prescribed at least 4 different medications from VUMC, and she was treated by mental health professionals associated with the university and the hospital since April of 2001. I mean, I was still a junior in high school at that time. According to the affidavit submitted by Metro Nashville Police Department and their detectives department to obtain a search warrant for VUMC records, which was published by the Star on Friday, Hale was a 22-year patient of mental health professionals associated with the hospital. The affidavit explained that Hale's mother told detectives after the shooting, quote, Audrey Hale was receiving psychological treatment at Vanderbilt Hospital and has been for quite some time. MNPD then located medical records that the detective wrote established Audrey Hale has been receiving psychological treatment from the Vanderbilt Psychiatric Hospital since 2001. Medications prescribed to Hale were discovered by the Star after it obtained the results of a search warrant, which was served on VUMC just a year ago in June of 2023. Police learned that Hale was prescribed 4 medications from the hospital, including 2 anti-anxiety drugs, the common antidepressant Lexapro, if I'm saying that correctly, and a nasal spray designed to moisten the nasal passages. The hospital likewise has not responded when asked if they acted based on a request for transgender health care by Hale. So that's the update to this story, to which, you know, when you think about somebody being in psychiatric treatment for 22 years, like I've said consistently on this show, if Audrey Hale was an adult and she's over 18 years old and she wants to go through any of these treatments, by all means, go do it. But I would find it hard to believe that you couldn't just go and ask, and I'm just like thinking out loud here. So if you want the answer to whether or not she's had any of these transgender treatments, wouldn't you just go to the mom? Because the story that we have and all the facts that we have gathered on this story over the last 15 months is that she still lived at home with her parents, to which if I can't get the information through the hospital or any other facility, wouldn't you think as a detective or an investigator, you would go to the parents? Now, the parents, the mom has already given one quote specifically that I just read for you. So I would think she would know one way or the other. And even if your daughter does not live with you anymore, you probably know if one of your children, even though they are now, quote, a grown adult, went through any of these procedures or had any of these life-altering changes. From what we gather and what I just read here, I don't even know that she took any prescriptions for transgender hormone replacement therapy or whatever you want to call it. But all we know right now is that she was on a multitude of mental health prescriptions. And I think that's one of the biggest problems in this country today. Stocker, I know you've kind of echoed a similar sentiment of what do you do when people are having issues? I'll just dope them up, put them on drugs. And here you go again with somebody that was clearly dealing with levels of mental disturbances and disruptions well beyond what the common person goes through when they deal with, you know, some form of anxiety or depression. I mean, millions and millions and millions of Americans have, you know, some sort of mental health, you know, issue that they are trying to treat. But the difference here is most people don't go forward with a mass execution of a school shooting where you are killing six-year-olds, you're killing a teacher. I believe the one man was a janitor or a custodian. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is a story to this day where here we are 15 months later, and it seems like the proper authorities are still scraping and clawing for every detail possible. And Dawn, this is, I mean, you report news all the time. And how many times do you say we don't know a motive? We don't know the identity. We don't know the age. We don't know the race or the gender. It seems like this is a absolutely coordinated effort to suppress information to the American public. That's the read I have on this entire story from Jump Street.
Yeah, you know, so many questions. So number one, why is it in this particular case, to your point, that they have not been transparent, that they want to suppress the information that's part of the public record? If we know that if somebody is in counseling, of course, we have HIPAA laws and all kinds of laws that protect the confidentiality of any doctor-patient relationship, whether that's your, you know, your general practitioner or whether it's your psychiatrist. But the exception there is, did this individual have violent language, threatening language? And that's the question for Vanderbilt, for example, because it should impact the fact that, you know, this individual was able to buy rifles and guns and handguns and so on. And so that becomes an issue that's a touchy issue, quite frankly, in America when you talk about mental health. And should you, if you're under the care of a psychiatrist and you have expressed either self-harm, because let us not forget that the number one problem here is self-harm.
Suicide, yeah.
Right.
Sure.
And so, but did this individual express any violent rants? And reportedly, Audrey Hale did.
Yes. And isn't this, now I don't know the legal answer to this. I will defer to anybody in the audience that maybe knows the answer to this, that works in human resources or is in a legal profession. Do your HIPAA rights continue when you're deceased? Because here, this is not like Audrey Hale was captured and arrested and is serving the rest of her life in a mental facility or a prison. Audrey Hale was killed by those brave Nashville police officers that arrived 12 minutes after the shooting, after the emergency calls came in. So are her HIPAA rights still protected considering she's perished? Because if her being perished and the details of those 48 pages are a security threat and a security risk to people in society, don't people in society have a right to know? Because we were always told with this story that the details and the elaborate plans that she had lined out were so I don't even know what the right word would be for it, so gruesome and gory that, you know, if you are somebody in that school or at that church, because I believe it's a Catholic school, you know, that your livelihood could be at risk here. So why are those other details not coming out? And yes, I know she can't harm anybody anymore because she's dead. But, you know, if you look at some of these stories that I have in front of me, and this actually brings us to the next story. Think about all of the mass shootings that we have had recently in this country that are coming from people in the LGBTQ plus community. And I think this is a fascinating conversation to have, because if you remember in the 80s and 90s, there was this big stretch of, TV and movie violence and video game violence and, you know, separating fact from fiction and reality from fantasy. The Call of Duty video game franchise is under fire now. And I'm sure people listening have either a kid or a grandchild that has played the Call of Duty gun warfare game for the Xbox and the PlayStation. Call of Duty released a Pride bundle that lets players download and purchase and simulate murder using trans flag adorned guns and bullets. So as you play this video game online now, you can mask your players up, the digital characters, with Pride labeled logos on guns and apparel and bullets. And if you think about the shootings that we have mentioned, let me just read this off for you. This is courtesy of The Blaze. In April, police arrested a trans-identifying high school student in Maryland who was allegedly plotting to shoot up classrooms full of elementary school children. In February, a gender-bending anti-Semite from El Salvador opened fire in Joel Osteen's Houston-based Lakewood Church. In January, a Nazi-supporting transgendered member in Oregon was arrested after threatening to, quote, go out in a blaze of glory. The same month, a trans-identifying teen stalked the halls of a school in Iowa, murdering a sixth grader and wounding five others. Last year, a female transgendered member murdered three children and three adults at a Christian school in Nashville, Tennessee. And they also go on to talk about the shooting in Colorado Springs in 2022. And also the one in 2019 at STEM school Highlands Ranch that was also in Colorado. So you have a lot of these mass shootings that have been covered a lot or not covered a lot in the media based on the identity of certain shooters and what they subscribe to. And we always compare and contrast the media coverage. If it's somebody from the LGBTQ plus community versus a red hat MAGA wearing Trump supporter, and the disparity in coverage and headlines. Is this a whoops, bad moment for Call of Duty, or is this a nothing burger for the Call of Duty video game franchise? And I think people will be surprised by my answer here. This is a nothing burger, because you have to be able to separate reality from fantasy. I don't believe that the television, a video game system, a gaming console, a specific game, something you see in a movie, a Netflix series, that should never be to blame for somebody's actions in the real world. I've always thought this is where parenting matters. This is where you tell your child, hey, just because you're sitting there for an hour on your Xbox and you killed 87 people, that does not mean it is, and it's crazy you have to say this, but that does not mean you go out there and you do that in the real world. I think you have to be able to separate entertainment from the truths of society. So I'm not going to kill Call of Duty for this. To me, this is just capitalism. Maybe, I don't even want to say at its finest, but to its extreme measure, where they allow you to purchase and download a Pride bundle. Not sure why you would need that in a video game, but if that's your thing, knock yourself out. The Blaze tried to make a big stink of it. But I do think that this whole LGBTQ plus movement and this trans movement, again, as I said in the big take, nobody should target these individuals. They have every right, just the way you do, to live your life. But the biggest issue for me is just the general umbrella of children and protecting children. And I know, Dawn, this is something that you talk about a lot, but I just wanted to pass these stories on from the Tennessee and the Blaze, because I think a lot of people try to take it to a certain level where I think, you know, at the end of the day, this all comes back to parenting, whether it's the video game or going through these hormone blockers and these puberty blockers. This comes down to parents making an informed decision and knowing all of the data that is out there. That's why I think shows like this matter, because we're giving you that study of 15,000 plus people. We're giving you the stories of how nations around the globe outside of the United States are stopping a lot of this, if not all of it. But yet here in the United States, it's a total role reversal. It's encouraging this. It's lifting it up. And it's one of these things where, as I've said, and I cited before, by the year 2032, the transgender surgery procedure industry is going to be a $30 billion a year industry.
Yeah, until all the lawsuits take effect and then hospitals, major hospitals start getting sued and losing in cities like Philadelphia, and that's when it all ends.
Yeah.
As far as Call of Duty, the bullets that you can paint in the Pride colors are not real bullets.
Right.
They're basically a cartoon. They're a graphic.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the important piece of this. What if Audrey Hale, who's we now know has been suffering with mental health issues since she was a little kid, and that's the question for Vanderbilt and for those medical professionals. What did they know? Because reportedly she was expressing violence against other kids for decades, for at least 15 years that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's true, they had an obligation to tell that. And they did not. And mm-hmm. why didn't they?
Right.
And so to me, what it looks like is that nobody wants to talk about any of these issues, which I know are sensitive issues. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that if somebody has mental health, serious mental health issues, and they go to buy a firearm, for example, they're number one, they're most likely to harm themselves. But especially somebody in this case that has expressed violence against others and other kids, why in the world, A, would you let that individual buy a bunch of firearms? B, why would you counsel that individual in a school where there are little kids?
Mm-hmm.
So these are all the questions that we should be able to talk about in a very transparent way. They don't want us to have the conversation. Also, you mentioned a nasal spray that obviously is like for allergies or whatever, a nasal spray, and then on top of it, some medications that would help somebody's mental health. Is there information that maybe some of these different meds, are they looking at the drug interactions of these?
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes think with Philadelphia kids, have you ever noticed when are they switching doctors, switching schools, going off their meds? We have all these meds going on with kids. What's the impact when they combine it with another med? What's the impact when they just suddenly go off of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And are they acting out? And number three, I'll just say with Audrey Hale, what if she could have played Call of Duty with the trans bullets, whatever, with the painted, and would that have helped her therapy? It may have.
Yeah.
So I have no problem with a stinking video. It's a video game. That's it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. 855-839-1210. If you would like to jump in, 921 here on this Monday morning. It's time for the Morning Mystery Movie Clip.
And now, the Morning Mystery Movie Clip on Kalen Company. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, Harry, we're in. Passenger relay.
Sir.
Take this. I want you to tell him what I see. Okay! We got a wad! Pretty big!
There's a pretty big wad.
Brass fittings?
Brass fittings.
I think I can reach the circuit wire.
He can reach the circuit wire.
No. Don't. That's a decoy. Classic.
That's your classic decoy.
What else?
Hold on.
Oh, darn.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
I remember seeing this movie in the theaters when I was 10 years old. It came out 30 years ago today. I would argue one star, completely overrated. The other one that you just heard, completely underrated. But if you know that movie, caller 12, 855-839-1210, you will get a four-pack of tickets to see the Reading Phillies against the Somerset Patriots at First Energy Stadium in Reading on Fireworks Night, Friday, July 5th. For tickets, visit readingphillies.com. Caller 12, 855-839-1210. See if we get our winner when we come back. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Todd and Chalfon, who's with us, and has identified that clip that came out 30 years ago today. Todd, good morning. What movie was that?
Good morning. Well, in honor of Hunter Biden and all the chatter, it was an easy one. Speed.
Well played, sir. Speed, that is correct. June 10th, 1994, Jeff Daniels and Keanu Reeves and Dennis Hopper as well. So good work, Todd. You got the Reading Phillies tickets.
All right. Great show, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks, there Todd. He is, Todd, checking in. Yeah, I think Jeff Daniels completely underrated. I think he's good in a multitude of roles. I would argue that Keanu Reeves completely overrated. Think about it. Like he broke onto the scene with Speed. Then there was The Matrix.
He didn't break onto the scene with Speed.
What was the bigger hit than that?
He did Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh,
he
that's
did
right.
My Own Private Idaho. He did. Okay. He did a lot of stuff. He was in a movie called Parenthood with Steve Martin.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Parenthood is like my husband's favorite parenting movie.
You like
it is
that?
It's a fabulous movie. It is a fabulous movie.
Matrix, fabulous movie. Overrated?
Matrix?
No.
Yeah, it's a terrible
movie.
I was terrible.
He was also awful in that movie with Gene Hackman where he played the backup quarterback. It's always on TBS
I
every
like
year.
Keanu Reeves.
The Replacements.
Yeah.
Yeah, atrocious. I'm not a big Keanu Reeves guy. He's kind of flamed out. Has he done anything in the
John
last 15
Wick.
Years?
I love his John Wick stuff.
Actually, John Wick is very good.
I don't think I saw that. John Wick.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You got to check it out.
All right, I'll take a look. All right. Dawn, I got to get your thoughts on this. So this is really out of my wheelhouse. It's out of Greg's wheelhouse. It's out of Phil's. It's out of Henry's. This is right for you. So a top cancer charity has now had to apologize for using the word cervix instead of trans-friendly front hole. The Canadian Cancer Society, which is run by philanthropist Andrea Seal, acknowledged that the LGBTQ plus community on a webpage dedicated to cervical cancer under the page's Words Matter section. Words matter. Okay. Actions don't, but words do. So here's the official statement. We recognize that many trans men and non-binary people may have mixed feelings about or feel distanced from words like cervix. You may prefer other words, such as front hole. We recognize the limitations of the words that we've used, while also acknowledging the need for simplicity.
Yeah.
Another reason we use words like cervix is to normalize the reality that men can have these body parts, too. The Cancer Society posted that instead of cervix, they will now go with front hole out of respect for the transgender community. And according to the society, anyone with a cervix, regardless of gender or sexual orientation, should get regular cervical cancer screenings or pap smears starting at the age of 25. Dawn, are you a big believer in simplicity and the need for it? And your thoughts on this?
This is disrespectful to women and girls who don't want their private parts to be called a hole.
But it's the front.
Front
location
hole.
Location matters. We're always told location, right?
So now they've reduced. Think about this. This is an alleged top charity, whatever. It has reduced a woman's body part or a woman or a female as a whole.
Yeah.
Now imagine, just imagine for a moment, if somebody like, I don't know, Donald J. Trump.
Yeah.
Got up on a platform, much like he did over the weekend in Vegas, and talked about women and their front holes.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What would the left say? They would, Rachel Maddow, head hole, would lose her mind, right?
Head hole.
and so that's just it. It's at the end of the day, they're so worried about a tiny percentage of individuals and their rights and respecting them that they do the absurd. You couldn't even make this up. It's like a comedy. It's like a comedy bit right here.
It really is. It's in this world to make everybody feel inclusive, which you should. Like people have just lost their ever loving minds. Trans friendly front hole. Like you're right. If any man said that in any sexual setting with a female, talking about holes,
like your hole,
on any location in their body, even the mouth, right? Like, you know, the mouth is a hole, technically, right?
And this is
respect the hole.
Respect the hole.
This isn't just some wackadoodle who's doing this, right?
It's the Canadian Cancer Society. This is not a TikTok rant from some nut job that Stalker found that is going to play at 9:45 or 7:45. I mean, these are respected physicians that are more concerned about vocabulary and words because 4% of society says, well, actually, you should relabel it this because did you know? No, I did not know, and I don't want to know.
I mean, and you can have so much fun with this, like a hole in one, watering hole. Yeah. I mean, it gives a whole new meaning.
The whole shebang, the whole kit and caboodle. I'm remembering the scene from Titanic when that one guard says to Molly Brown, if you open that hole in your face one more time.
Can we...
shut your pie hole.
Yeah, shut your pie hole.
Can we just invade Canada already?
So who should we take out next? France? Canada
France, right now. Are you seeing what they're doing?
Yeah, they've
dissolved
the parliament for Macron.
Because they're all going conservative. Why? Yeah. And they're going to the right wing. They're going conservative because of the immigration issue.
Mm.
Boom.
Yeah. Funny you say that. I got a text from an individual who doesn't know what he wants to do for the rest of his life career-wise. And he said... he passed this tweet along. France, national rally wins a historic 31.5% of the vote, forcing Macron to dissolve the parliament. Germany, Belgium, Italy, Austria, Spain, Luxembourg, all going, quote, right wing.
Yeah. So
now you know everybody's.
And look at what, look at what
it
is.
Wave in America.
It's big news.
It is.
I mean, it's big news. I mean, if we follow suit, I mean, that's, you know, that and we do a lot of times. It's interesting to see how the rest of the world is going.
Yep.
Because what's happening to these countries, all of these countries are reacting to the fact that they have policies in which people can flood into their country, get their benefits, and they're not us. These are more socialist countries, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, well said.
Very great.
All right, 855-839-1210. We'll come back, get to what's on the cut sheet, part two, as we continue. It's Kale and Company here on a Monday.
Just yesterday, a relative of mine said, which Piazza should I go to? We're looking for a used, they're thinking about a used minivan, but her husband wants a truck. I said, it's okay. Go to Piazza, figure it out. Piazza Auto Group, across the board, they're going to help you out. Right now, Piazza Auto Group exploring the most desirable luxury SUVs with the Defender, the Discovery, the Range Rover models. Schedule a test drive at Land Rover, Willow Grove, Westchester, Harrisburg, or Wilmington. Find yours today. There is power within the Piazza Auto Group, PIAZZA, Piazza Auto Group. Just go to one of their many dealerships across Pennsylvania, Delaware, New Jersey. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group. Let them know Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
I do. Starting with cut 16 here, Phil. Joe Biden over the weekend was in France. He did the D-Day celebration at Normandy and ended it with a state dinner on Friday or Saturday, I'm not sure, where he kissed France's butt, told them that France and the United States have always been there for one another. We stand together when the going gets tough. It's amazing. I know he lies a lot, but this might be the biggest whopper of them all, in my opinion. Cut 16, Phil, go.
And then it said, the French are allies who, quote, quote, happen to speak democracy in a different language.
Yeah.
And we democracies aren't just doing favors. We're fighting for each other. When history gets through, we all are in the same boat. End of quote. France and the United States have always been there for one another. We stand together when the going gets tough. And that's a fact. We stand together to defend the values that lie at the soul, the very soul of both our nations. And I believe that to be the case today.
By the way,
is he supposed to be saying end quote?
I don't know. But France and the United States standing together when the going gets tough is the biggest load of crap. We stood there and got tough, and they ran like cowards, like the cowards they are.
Yes.
And our men and women had to bail their asses out.
Yep.
Screw the French.
As I said last week, I will never forget the episode of Married with Children when Al Bundy said they ran like a Frenchman from a cap gun. Are they the softest nation on the planet?
Yes.
Is there any doubt?
Canada.
That's a good question.
Yeah, Canada.
We should do a poll question. Canada or France?
Yeah, I think Canada is worse than France right now.
French wine versus Canadian beer. What do you got?
Oh, French wine, 100%. Yeah, French wine is the best. Okay. There's no... I'll fight a man for that. Better than Italian
wine?
Yes. I'll fight a man for that.
Right, so you'll be fighting Dom and Rich coming up at 7 o'clock?
I don't care what they say.
Uh-oh.
I don't care what they say. I'm correct. More people should listen to me. Cut 12 here, where he talks about being the son of the American Revolution. He hasn't been able to prove that yet, but he knows it in his heart.
It's somewhere in the family tree.
Cut 12, Phil, go.
Mr. President, Brigitte, distinguished guest, you know, one of the things that's been a legend in my family is my middle name is Robinet. And allegedly,
what did he say?
My grandfather.
His middle name is Robinette.
Robinette, and he says my middle name is Robinet. It's like he just whatever, wherever he's at, he's French. Yeah,
he is the ultimate chameleon.
Can somebody put Joe Biden in a beret and just say these are my people. Oh, just nauseating.
Yeah, by the way, the American Revolution, March 22nd, 1765. Biden fought in the American Revolution. Did you know that?
I'm going to start off cut 12 again, Phil, go.
Mr. President, Brigitte, distinguished guest.
Brigitte.
You know, one of the things that's been a legend in my family is my middle name is Robinet. And allegedly, I've been told by my grandfather that this was established. I've not found it yet. Maybe someone could help me.
Neither has Brian Stelter.
I'm a son of the American Revolution.
Yeah.
Because Robinette came over with Lafayette
and
never went home. And stayed in the United States. So that makes me a son of the American Revolution.
Mm.
But I haven't been able to establish that yet. So maybe one of your genealogists can figure it out for me.
Oh, my God. Maybe somebody could help me with that.
I don't even get angry anymore.
Somebody help me with my
this is just parody.
He was raised in the Puerto Rican community.
Yeah,
he's Robinet.
He was there for segregation.
France. I mean,
plus just the horrible.
Just Robinet. By the way, the French can have him. All right, that's right.
I don't think the French want him.
That's what I got.
I got to tell you. God help it if we lose. If you can't beat this guy, my God.
Mm. Yeah,
12-year-old could beat this guy. My daughters could run. Come on, how? This can't be America. Robinet. No. It's 9:48. I'm not going to yell. I had plenty of time to yell. I'm in a good mood today. I'm not going to fake it. No faux outrage on the show. It's just comedy at this point here in this guy talk. And his second in charge, she's a walking parody bit too.
Yep.
Started on her. All right, 9:49. One person that's not a parody bit.
Nope.
She's an award-winning journalist.
Yep.
She's the class of the show.
Aww,
Dawn Stensland,
you,
coming up 11 minutes out.
Yeah, so we'll update you on everything as far as, let's talk about the southern border since Biden said that he's going to control the southern border. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about crime control in high crime areas in Philadelphia, what's taking effect today. And moving forward to next week, that's pretty big news. We also have Hunter Biden in court. Will he testify or won't he? So Trump in Vegas, Trump obviously holding this Mar-a-Lago, this Zoom type of meeting as he has to check in with the parole department in New York.
Will Jeffrey Toobin be on that Zoom?
Yeah, yuck. And coming up at 10:15, Reverend Joshua Robertson. So we have a group of African-American pastors, black pastors from our region as they're heading to Harrisburg and just imploring the governor, imploring lawmakers, please talk about better education, school choice issues because of troubled education here in Pennsylvania, here in Philadelphia. So all things education, which brings us to Beth Ann Rossica, Broad and Liberty. We've talked a lot about her today, actually. So Beth Ann on her latest piece. There's just so much happening today. We're live. We're local. We got it all covered for you.
All right. Dawn Show coming up in just about 9 minutes, as now we get to Today in Music History.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. On Kale and Company.
Today, Monday, June 10th. We celebrate the birthdays of Jimmy Chamberlain from the Smashing Pumpkins, Judy Garland, and Joey Santiago from the Pixies. We also lost Ray Charles on this day in 2004. Singles include Elton John's Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me from 74, and That's the Way I Like It by KC and the Sunshine Band from 75. Albums include One of These Nights by the Eagles in 75, Welcome Interstate Managers by Fountains of Wayne in 2003, and Black Sabbath 13 in 2013. Also, Exile on Main Street by the Stones was atop the British chart in 72. In 67, the California Magic Mountain Music Festival took place, considered to be the very first rock music festival. In 66, Janis Joplin made her singing debut with Big Brother and the Holding Company. And in 72, Elvis Presley played Madison Square Garden.
God.
But lastly, on this day in 2007... Don't Stop Believin' was on the jukebox while Tony Soprano sat at a diner during the very last scene of The Sopranos. For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Omquist.
All right, nice work, Philip, on a Monday. That'll do it for us today. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is up next. We're back tomorrow morning at 6, and as Fetterman would say,
good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10, on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.